Appreciate that. Good special music right there. Amen. I told the choir we got to step it up on getting special music because my mom told me she watched today and she said, y'all don't have much special music. People singing specials, you know. So we got to step it up because my mom said so. Amen, right? So we got to do that. Oh, really? That was funny. She said the choir director was good, and then she corrected herself and said song leader. She meant to say song leader. All right, let's go in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 tonight. All right, I preached on Peter last week. I said I was going to, you know, probably stop with the people in the wrong place. This tonight will be kind of a follow-up to that, perhaps. It's not about any person that got in the wrong place. In fact, it's about somebody who was in the right place, Paul. But the subject matter will put us in the wrong place if we're not careful. All right, so we're going to preach about this tonight, being engaged in the battle. Being engaged in the battle. Paul certainly was engaged in the battle. And so we're going to talk about this tonight. I'm going to look at 2 Corinthians 10. I'm going to look at the first five verses here tonight. So if you're there, I want to read them. Paul says, now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you, but I beseech you, now that is, I ask you, that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Let's pray. Father, guide and direct us tonight in our thoughts and help us say the right things in the right way. Speak to us, we ask, and strengthen us. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This book is one of the good books in the Bible. He dealt with a lot of issues in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, more almost biography by Paul here. First nine chapters, he was teaching the saints. Here you get to chapter 10, he changes gears a little bit and he begins to deal with his critics. So Paul begins to defend himself, his apostleship, and his ministry at this point, all right? Let's go back and look at what he said. Verse 1, now I, Paul, myself, beseech you, and notice this, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. One of the criticisms was that Paul was too gentle, too almost soft, if you will, in person. And he's just saying, hey, Jesus was gentle. Jesus was a meek person, right? Jesus was gentle and meek in his demeanor. So you say, what was Jesus like? Paul just gave you some of it right there. He said, by the gentleness and meekness of Christ. Now look what he said. Who in presence am base among you? That's one of the criticisms. Paul is just a low down, little, nothing guy. So he's kind of, really, he's bringing up their criticism. But being absent and bold toward you, so they said. In other words, Paul will write one of them letters. Man, I tell you what, when he writes a letter, he's a big man, isn't he? But let him come around here and we'll see how big and bad he is. That's what they're saying. All but while he's behind that computer screen, he's bold, right? You hear that today? People are bold behind a computer screen, right? That's what they're saying about Paul. And Paul's kind of naming their criticisms here, but, you know, he said, hey, if meekness and gentleness is a problem, well, Jesus was too, but y'all say I'm base, you say I'm timid. Verse 2, but I beseech you, that is, I ask you, that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some. All right, against who? The critics. So what he just said, when he said, I beseech you, you know what Paul said? Hey, I'm asking you folks. I'm sending you a letter. I'm teaching some things, and I'm asking you. Don't make it necessary for me to be big, bold, and bad when I get there. Paul's saying, don't mess with me. All right? Now, Paul's getting bold right here. Right? Oh, yeah, he's bold in his letters, but he's saying, wait a minute now. When I get there, don't make it be like that. Just listen to what I'm telling you in this letter, and you'll live the right Christian life. So he's got critics stirring up trouble in the church, and he's saying, when I come, I don't want to have to be bold with you. I don't want to have to confront you. All right? So he's confident that he can do it, but he doesn't want to do it, right? So then what did he say at the end of verse 2? I'll bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Now, you know what he's saying there? He's saying this. He's saying, hey, you're talking in the flesh about being strong or bold enough to confront you when I'm there, or you're saying I'm not bold enough to confront you, I'm going to come down there, we're going to have a fight. That's the way you're talking. But Paul was above them spiritually. By the way, they tell us Paul might have been, because of criticism like this, maybe he was just a little guy. Maybe he was not real healthy, had a thorn in the flesh. Maybe he did have some bad eyesight. Maybe he could have been pushed around. But I think Paul was pretty bold in presence or in letters, amen? He probably was a scrappy little guy, right? I believe that about Paul. So, but he's saying, I'm not coming down there to have a fight with you carnal people that are in the flesh giving me all this. When I get there, I don't want to have to do that anyway. I think he could have. Amen. I'd put my money on Paul. Amen. But we're not betting on a fight. All right. But then he says in verse 3, all right, he says, you're in the flesh. You're talking according to the flesh. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now here's what he's saying. You know, you can have people arguing and fussing and fighting within the church. I've heard of fist fights in business meetings in churches. But you know what? The enemy's not you and each other. The enemy's you and the devil. So Paul's saying, you know what? This isn't about a fist fight. This isn't about a wrestling match. This is about spiritual warfare. Are you engaged in that? Now, people that are engaged in sowing discord, people that are engaged in stirring up trouble, people that are engaged in carnal fussing and feuding in the church are not engaged in the right kind of battle. They're not engaged in the spiritual battle, right? Paul was engaged in spiritual battle, and that's what he wanted them to be. So he said, you know what? We don't war after the flesh. Then verse 4, he said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, that is fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now he starts talking about something they're familiar with, and that is Roman warfare. And Roman warfare, Roman warriors were good about pulling down strongholds. Put up a barrier and watch them go through it. Okay? And then he said in verse 5, casting down. They could cast some stuff down. But he said, in our case, it's imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. You know what he's talking about right there? We call it apologetics, defending the faith. All these smart people and their vain imaginations and their philosophies that work against the knowledge of God in this book, he said, we're going to cast them all down. Amen. We'll defend the faith. Amen? You ever got in a debate with somebody you were trying to witness to? And you're trying, that's apologetics. You're not apologizing for the Bible. You're defending it is what that means. All right? So then he said, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Which is what they needed to learn how to do. Instead of shooting off at the mouth, carnal feuding and fighting and sowing discord, they needed to bring every thought under control with the help of the Lord. Amen? So whenever you get in the flesh, we call it, and you get mad and you get angry and you start mouthing off and you start throwing punches or whatever, you're in the flesh, right? That's not the right kind of warfare that we're to be involved in. I said, whenever y'all do that, y'all don't do that, amen? But y'all don't do that, but you probably have seen it done before. You know what I'm talking about, right? Now, jump over to verse 10. He kind of alludes to it again. Verse 10, they say, for his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, But his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Oh, he can write good. He can write big stuff. You ever heard him talk? He's not a very good speaker. He's not very pleasant to listen to. So what's he doing? He's defending the critics. But he knows and understands it's not just critics. Who's behind them? The devil, right? Those high, powerful places in darkness is what's behind that kind of stuff, right? So here Paul is defending himself. Why? Because he doesn't want to be engaged in a fist fight. He wants to be engaged against the devil, and he wants them to get engaged with him against the devil and not against him. We're in this fight together, amen? And we got to know who our enemy is. So are we engaged in the battle, and in the right battle, the spiritual battle of the ages is what we're talking about. You know, too many Christians are AWOL. Too many Christians are in denial that there is a battle. Too many Christians are giving up today. Too many Christians are just pretending in the Christian life, and they think it's all fun and games, and they don't really know the seriousness and the sacredness of the Christian walk with God. And they're just taking it lightly. It's good to be saved. It's wonderful to be saved. And they don't realize, they're not engaged in the battle because they don't realize there is a battle, right? And oftentimes we see that problem going on. You know what they are engaged in, though? Worldliness. They're engaged in following this world. They're engaged in not their Bible, but the world and what's going on out there, right? But we need to be aware every day that there is a battle. Now, this failure to be aware, this failure to realize there's an enemy, this failure to engage in the battle has hurt the church, hasn't it? It's caused many Christian casualties, if you will. Too many are falling by the wayside, and the devil's winning too many battles. Amen? The devil's knocking too many of us down. We need to be on the same side, working together. You know, Paul needed some help. Don't you believe that? A pastor needs help, right? Amen? You need help. We need help. Paul needed help. He didn't need the critics. I tell you, when we start being the critic, we got to know who's side we're on, and it's not God's. And we need to be careful about that, all right? Let me give you three or four practical points tonight I hope will help you. Number one, are you engaged in the battle? Number one, the danger is real. The danger is real. The problem is so many don't know it. Why is that happening? Why is this going on? Why did Aaron down in the valley make a golden a calf while Moses was up on the mountaintop with God? Because there's a real danger of falling in the wrong place if we're not careful, because that's what the devil wants us all to do. I guess whenever I preached on Christians in the wrong place, I forgot to preach on Aaron making the golden calf, because that was one of them. He definitely fell in the wrong place, didn't he? He definitely fell, and when he was supposed to lead, he was following the wrong people. So the danger is real. The awful popular error is the devil's not real. You know, a lot of people don't believe in the devil today. A lot of people claim they're born-again, Bible-believing Christians, and they'll tell you the devil is a symbol of evil and he's not a real person. Hey, I believe God's real, don't you? I believe God's real, Jesus is real, the Holy Spirit's real, angels are real. Guess what? The devil, Satan, the adversary, demons, they're all real, right? The fallen angels. It's all real, folks. It's all going on all around us. And we're never going to be engaged in that battle of casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against God if we're denying that the enemy even exists or that there really is a battle. All this health, wealth, and prosperity, Christianity, and there's never a battle to fight. Everything's supposed to be good. Folks, that's heaven. When we're crossing the Jordan, going into battle, amen, in the victorious Christian life. So there's a strong warning. Now you know Peter in 1 Peter 5:8 warned about the devil is our adversary. You got an adversary? You got an enemy? He said it's the devil, right? And he's walking around. He's seeking whom he may devour. That is destroy. You know the devil's a destroyer? You got a lion after you. Did you know that? Hey, but you know something else? I always think about that one, what Peter said. But you know what Jesus said? He told Peter, by the way, this is where Peter learned about it. He said, the devil has desired to have you that he may sift you is weak. He wants to shake you up and shake you down and just destroy you, Peter. He's going to get you to deny me before the night's over. Deny me three times before the cock crows. Peter, no. He was in denial, right? He forgot how strong the devil was. That's why later on he's writing about how strong the devil is and how much of an enemy he is. You know what else Jesus told his disciples? He said that the enemy, the devil, comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. Now, if you know anybody that's out to kill and steal, that's not a good description of anybody, right? Do you know anybody that fits that description? You say, yeah, they're in prison, they're on death row. They're in jail because they were shoplifting again. You know, somebody who steals, that's not a good person. That's not a good description. They need salvation, amen? They need forgiveness of God. They need the help of God. Anybody who's stealing is not doing right. Do you like a thief? As long as he's at the neighbor's house and doesn't come around your way? No, you don't like a thief. You don't want to think. You got some stuff you like, right? You got some stuff. You got some stuff that, you know, truth of the matter is, it's not worth 2 cents, but it's worth $1 million to you, right? Yeah, it's true. It ain't worth nothing. That's just a fact of the matter. I'm kidding you there. But no, you don't want nobody coming and stealing your stuff, right? You definitely don't want nobody coming to assault you or kill you. But Jesus said that's the kind of person the devil is. So we got to realize he seeks to destroy. And we need to avoid becoming his victim, right? Are you engaged in the battle? Well, first of all, you got to know that the battle is real. You've got to know that the enemy is real. But so many people are blinded to this truth. And guess what? Who's the one that blinds them? The devil himself. Satan is so slick, he's got people blinded. Now, he's got people blinded to the gospel, right? Paul explained that. But he's got people blinded to the fact that he is their problem, that he is the one blinding them. He's got people blinded to the fact that he is not their friend at all. So we got to know the devil's smarter and stronger, and the key for us is to stay close to Jesus. Amen? Stay close to the Lord. Stay close to Jesus. He is our refuge. He is our solid rock. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, which is the devil. The Holy Spirit's in you. The presence of Christ is in you. And you got to stay in tune with that so you don't end up in the wrong place by denying that you got a real enemy that wants to kill and steal and destroy you and your marriage and your family and your church and your nation and everything else. We don't like the devil. You say, preacher, is there anybody you don't like? I don't like the devil. And if there is somebody I don't like, the devil's either in them or in me. And he's got something to do with that too, right? So I need to straighten up on that. Or somebody I said don't like. How about hate? We don't need to be hating people, amen, right? That's the devil's work. All right, so first of all, you got to realize the danger is real. Now, all these people that we talked about, they ended up in the wrong place. They failed to remember the danger was there and it was real, right? And the enemy was there. So the danger is real. Let me say number two. Our enemy is deceptive. Man, I tell you, aren't a lot of people caught up in false religions and false churches today? I was thinking about that Pope they're talking about so sick. And I was thinking, you know, what would it be like to be a Pope? It's happened a lot of times. What would it be like to be a pope and be that high up in religion and just die and go to hell and say, what in the world happened? I thought I was religious. A lot of people are trapped in error, doctrinal error, right? You say, I don't believe they're saved according to what they believe. Amen, right? I think some lower level Catholic people believe in Christ. They may be saved. They've been taught wrong. But you get that high up, you know what the blasphemies are. You know what the doctrines are. And they're not Bible. They're traditions of men. And worse. The enemy is deceptive. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, even him, talking about the Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan, whose coming is after the symbol of evil. No. A real person. The Antichrist is going to be a real person who's working, is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. The love of the truth is the gospel. Amen? But they wouldn't receive it. Why? They swallowed a lie. We're deceived by the enemy. Jesus let us know the devil is the first liar. He's the biggest liar. He's the first liar. He's the worst liar. He's behind all the lies. Amen? Y'all with me? You like a liar? You don't like the devil then, right? He's the first one. He is the worst of the deceivers. He allures people. He makes promises that he cannot keep, doesn't intend on keeping, because he is a liar. He's the master of spin. He twists the truth, and he trains the media in America. Y'all still awake? Everything I just said, that he twists the truth and he's the master of spin, that's where they get it from, all right? I watched some news with my mom the other night, and they don't do a lot of TV at all. They'll just watch the evening news. And I watched some news with her, just a little 30-minute segment. And I said, I told my mom, I said, y'all watch this mainstream? I said, that Trump guy is pretty bad, isn't he? Listen to them. That Trump fella is terrible. I said, I don't watch y'all's news. I get a different perspective sometimes, you know? Anyway, but they know better. They know better. They know how it works. Twisting it, spinning it, making it go a certain way for certain reasons. The devil said to Jesus, if thou be the Son of God, well, that was casting doubt, right? He said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. What'd he do? Jesus kept quoting the Bible to the devil, so the devil quoted a verse back, and he mixed it all up and used one of them new modern versions and just got it all mixed up. He's the master of that too. Amen. Y'all read it? Y'all like that King James Bible? You trust that Bible? That old devil will twist it up, won't he? And by the way, if he'll try that with Jesus, you know he's going to get us confused. If he'll try that on Jesus, you better look out what he's going to do with us. But a lot of people are deceived by false religion, and that's one of his tactics. He's the first con man, if you will, and he's the best con man out there. You know, the Bible also says earlier in this book, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Paul knew about the devil and how he worked. And he was trying to teach these people that. And they needed to listen to Paul. You know, I think some people, by the way, you know, the Bible says too that the devil can be present himself as an angel of light. He can make himself look like a good angel. I've met people, I know people that they're convinced they're going to heaven because they met an angel one time. They were in a car wreck and an angel came. Some other situation. I try to witness those folks. You know what? They don't know the first thing about repentance or sin or Jesus or the cross or forgiveness. But they know an angel showed up on some occasion. So, hey, me and God's good. You know, the Bible tells us he can show up as an angel of light and look like a good angel and deceive people that way too, right? We got to know and understand his devices and not be ignorant of them. So we know the danger is real. The enemy is deceptive. Number three, our battleground is very personal. Our battleground is personal. Now, what Paul's describing in the text is personal criticisms against him. They're saying things about Paul. Paul's a little guy. What's wrong with that? He's short. What's wrong with being short? Come on. I mean, you know, really? He's a short guy. He's a little guy. He's weak. He can't speak well. He's probably, I'm sure they said he was ugly, right? He's half crippled, you know, that thorn in the flesh that he tries to spiritualize. It's because he don't take care of his health. He's just a weakling, a little weakling guy, you know? And short, too. Boy, to make it worse, I tell you. He's always talking big, but when he comes around, he's mild. He's very gentle. He'll say that, but he's not going to... he's not going to say it when he gets here. You watch and see. You know, I mean, it was very personal attacks against Paul. Now, they're all unfounded lies. They're all unfounded criticisms. They're all rumors. Again, whose work is that? Especially against the man of God. Now, Jesus taught us in Sermon on the Mount about people saying all manner of evil against us, right? That's going to happen. We know that. They're going to lie. They're going to start rumors. They're going to undermine. And that's what they were doing, by the way. They were trying to undermine his ministry so that the church wouldn't listen to him, but would listen to them. And they were carnal and fleshly, and they just wanted a crowd together to hear them. But Paul was teaching the truth, and the devil's always against the truth, right? So he's got all this going on. Now Proverbs tells us this, frowardness is in his heart. He devises mischief continually. He soweth discord. He's describing a person that just, a troublemaker is what he's talking about. His forwardness was like perversions are in his heart. He devises mischief continually, and he soweth discord. And you say, well, that sounds about like any little junior age boy I know right there, right? They mischief continually, right? Amen? But this kind is talking about adult people that are just devious. Sowing discord. Now, that same chapter says, a false witness that speaketh lies. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that, again, soweth discord among the brethren. I've told you this many times. Anybody that's sowing discord among the brethren, trying to drive a wedge between you and your brother in the church or sister in the church, that's not God's work. That's the devil's work, right? I want to keep the unity and keep the peace. Amen? And we know whenever we start fussing and fighting and feuding and having all them kind of problems, it's the devil. So the attacks were personal. Can I say your attacks are personal as well? Have you ever heard somebody tell you about somebody that fell into sin, somebody you knew? Have you ever heard of a preacher falling in sin? Y'all heard of that? You've heard of somebody close to you falling into sin? That hurts. That'll break your heart, right? You know families, you know marriages have been wrecked and ruined by sin creeping into the marriage, right? You've known wayward children. You've known all this stuff. You've seen all this stuff. Again, that's the devil. That's sin. And it hurts, but I'll tell you what. What about when it comes to your house and your family and your church? Boy, it's even closer to home. That hurts. It's personal. What if the attacks, the lies and the rumors and the discord comes your way? And you're now the brunt of the attacks of the devil, right? You're the one being betrayed. You're the one being thrown under the bus. You're the one being betrayed, if you will. All of these things are happening. You know what we got to do? We got to realize, boy, this is getting to my mind. The devil, that's where your battleground is, by the way. Amen? The devil wants to get in your mind. He wants to discourage you. He wants to get lies out there against you. He wants to get you broken down. That's the work of the devil, right? He did his best to discourage Paul personally, and don't think he's going to skip over us, right? You say, preacher, this ain't very encouraging. That's because I'm talking about your enemy, the devil. I'm talking about there's a battle going on, and we need to be aware of that battle. So every day, the Bible says in Romans 12, we need to renew our minds, renew our thinking. How you do that? The Bible. Get in that Bible, stay in that Bible, have your mind renewed every day, amen, transformed by the renewing of your mind. Stay in that Bible, stay in the Word, because if you're not in there, the devil's really going to be able to trip you up and cause some problems in your attacks. Now, let me say this. He did not stop Paul. Did he stop Job? Did he try to stop Job? He didn't stop Job, did he? He didn't stop Paul. Did he stop Daniel? No. Did he try? Yes. Did he try against Joseph? Yes. Did he succeed? No. We could go on and on. But now, we've talked about some people here recently. Adam, and we talked about Abraham and Samson and Naomi and Jonah and Peter. Now, all of them, he went after them, and all of them, for a period of time, ended up in the wrong place because he got tripped up and deceived and tricked and fell into the traps of the devil. So we know it can happen, right? Hey, I like saying it didn't happen to Paul. I like saying it didn't happen to Daniel or Joseph. I like saying that. I wish I could say that about Abraham and Peter and the rest of them. Amen. But it happened. They ended up in the wrong place for a while in their life. David, King David, right? So we know that these things can happen in our lives. Why? The danger is real. The enemy is deceptive. The battle is personal. He's coming after you. He's your. He's the lion after you, right? He's out for your marriage and family and Christian walk, right? Y'all know this, right? All right, let me say number four. Number four, our weapons are spiritual. I wish we could punch the devil in the nose and send him on. Amen. Martin Luther of the Reformation years ago, he said he threw an ink bottle at him. He said, I know, I almost hit him. He wrote a lot of good books. He wrote a lot of sermons. He wrote a lot of stuff that, you know, whenever you would dip the ink, you know, in the, well, way back in them days, and dip the ink. And he said the devil was in the room one day, and he picked the ink bottle up, threw at him. He said, oh, no, I almost hit him. He was in there messing with me, right? That's how real he was really engaged, amen, in the battle. I wish we could pick something up and knock him, amen, and send him on his way. But the Bible teaches us to submit to God and resist the devil and he will flee. Right? So we got to realize it's not a spiritual, it's not a physical fight. You say, I almost wish it was. No, it's not a wrestling match like Jacob had with God. It's not, you know, that was spiritual too, but that was something real depicted to us as well. But a spiritual application, obviously. Now, he said in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So, yeah, we're in the flesh. We're in our physical body. We're in our earthly life. But we're also in a spiritual heavenly realm. But we got demons from hell all around us, too. We walk by faith, not by sight. I'm glad we can't see it. Amen? I'm glad our eyes are not open so that we can see all that. But we know it's all around. So we're in the world, not of the world. So Paul said, yes, we are in the flesh, but we do not fight with weapons that are carnal or fleshly. Now, he almost said something very similar to verses 4 and 5 over to the Ephesians when he said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Boy, what a description that is. He said, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're not having a wrestling match. We're not having a fist fight to get, you know, here with each other. It's not like that. He said, it's stuff we can't see. It's stuff way above us. It's stuff stronger than us. It's stuff that those fiery darts of the devil that you don't even see coming your way. Now, I mentioned this morning in 1 Samuel 17. Then David said to the Philistine, I mentioned this morning, part of it, about Goliath. David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. He said, you've got all them fleshly, materialistic, earthly weapons. You've got the shield, and it's bigger than I am. You've got the sword. I can't hardly pick it up. You've got a spear. Boy, I couldn't throw that thing. But I'm coming to you without armor. I'm coming to you without any kind of a sword. I'm coming to you with a slingshot. But more than that, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. Now, that was a physical battle. But David realized it was more than that. Now, you and I know today, our Goliaths, our giants, it is not a physical battle, but it is a spiritual battle just the same, right? The devil is trying to drive a wedge in some relationship that you have into your family, again, into whether it be marriage or family or church or, Republicans and Democrats and all that kind of stuff, right? I told you, somebody told me a while back that their neighbor gave them a lot of good fruits and vegetables out in the garden until they had a talk about politics. And he said, now my neighbor won't even talk to me, much less give me anything. I was like, you should have kept your mouth shut and got some stuff out the garden. Amen. Don't talk politics with the guy that's giving you the goods. Amen. But you know, those things will happen. It'll drive a wedge. That's why people say don't talk politics or religion even, you know. But the devil, again, he's the one driving these wedges. So there's a big difference between earthly battle, earthly weapons, and spiritual. Your Bible, did you realize you can win battles on your knees in your prayer closet? Nobody sees you fighting that battle. But that's where the battle is fought and won oftentimes, amen, most times. Nobody knows, you know, oh, he's a great prayer warrior. Nobody even knows you're a great prayer warrior. That's just between you and the Lord, amen? And you get in that closet and you pray and you fight that battle on your knees. You get into your Bible. You go to church and you get help there and you get support from your army, amen, your comrades here in the church, amen. Thank God for these comrades right here. And you do it all in the name of Jesus and for the glory of the Lord. That's what David said. I don't have all that stuff. I'm the little guy here. Paul's saying, I'm the little guy here. I think Paul still could have held his own, by the way, myself, but that's not what it was about. It wasn't ego. It wasn't throwing punches. It wasn't who could out-wrestle the other. It wasn't about that. Paul dealt with those critics with scripture and prayer, and he said, that's the way I'm going to deal with you. If I have to come be bold, fine. I'll come be bold to your face if that, you know, makes you happy. But that's not what it's about. Doesn't matter if we're bold like that. We need to know and realize, folks, there is a battle. Are we engaged is what I'm trying to say tonight. Too many battles are lost because the enemy is subtle and he's not even detected. And we're mad at somebody when we need to be mad at somebody called the devil. And not that individual. He's the one behind it causing the problems. You know, people try to start awareness campaigns for all kind of craziness, right? You need to be aware of stuff, you know, that nobody cares about. Saving the whales and the owl and the hawk that killed your chicken and you can't do nothing about it. We need awareness. I shouldn't go there, right? Now, you know what I'm talking about. There's all kind of causes that you need to be aware of, and there's somebody going to make you aware, and you're going to say, that's not even an important cause. Now, it's important to somebody. That's why they're raising awareness, right? I'm saying, how about the awareness of the gospel of Jesus Christ? How about the awareness that there's a real devil out to destroy you and deceive you and take you to hell? I think we need to raise the awareness about these things. In fact, that's what we're told to do in the Great Commission. Is to let people know God is love. The devil is your enemy. But he's got people to see. They're not seeing it. We need to raise that awareness and realize these things. Death used to bother people. Now, people aren't that bothered by it. Honestly, I think society is kind of conditioned. There's no hell. There's no devil. And everybody goes to heaven. Which means there is a God and there is a heaven. Well, if there is a God and there is a heaven that book tells me about, then why is there not a devil and a hell too? Because it came out the same book. Amen? But people are conditioned to you know, else no problem. Everybody goes to heaven. Why is this going wrong? Why is that going? There's a devil out there. And we're not engaged in the battle if we don't even realize there is a battle. Folks, let's not get caught off guard. And let's not find ourselves getting put, like these people we talked about over the last several Sunday nights, getting ourselves in the wrong place, out of the will of God, out in sin, because the enemy, we were not engaged in the battle. Paul said he fought the good fight, and that's what's going on right here in this chapter. He's fighting the good fight, amen? He didn't want to fight no person. He wanted to fight against the devil. He was fighting the good fight, the real fight, the right fight. Amen? And we need to do the same thing too. The devil's going to discourage you this week. The devil's going to try to confuse you this week. The devil's going to try to get on your case this week. He's going to get somebody against you this week. Y'all believe that? If he gets a chance, he's going to do this stuff. He's going to tear up something. He's going to make you mad, right? He's going to get you upset. And you might want to take it out on somebody and blame somebody else, right? You know, I said this morning, Aaron, he blamed Moses. You were gone too long. He blamed the people. You know how bad they are. He blamed the altar. Yeah, it just popped this golden calf out. You know, the devil is behind all that too. You don't need to be blaming Moses. He's up there praying to God. That's, you should have been praying. So the devil wouldn't have got to you and you lied about all that stuff anyway. You made that calf. You know, you did that. But he got in the wrong place. Why? He wasn't engaged in the battle. It says that Moses was up there on the mountaintop, on his knees, on his face before God. But down in the valley, they were playing and singing music and having a good old time, not even realizing what was going on. I want to be more like Moses. Amen? Not like Aaron, that got himself in the wrong place because he wasn't engaged in the right battle. May God help us with it. Would you bow your heads with me tonight, please? Let's think about some of these things. The devil wants to get us in the wrong place. He's done it to many people. But if we'll stay engaged in the battle, we can avoid becoming his victim. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Lord, speak to our hearts. Show us some things here tonight that will help us, encourage us, strengthen us, Lord. And help us as we go out this week, Lord, to be aware of what's going on. Lord, not just that the devil's all around and at work, but let's help us to be aware that you're with us and you're at work also. And you want to give us the victory if we'll trust you and follow you. Help us with it tonight, I ask you, in Jesus' name. Let's stand tonight. Our heads are bowed. Music plays. This altar is open if you need to come do business with God.